Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore, with me, Alistair Beckett King.
And me, James Shakeshaft.
Hello there, James.
What?
Hello, wee James. Yes, that's right. I was doing a Scots accent because this story that I'm about to tell you takes place in Argyle.
The clothing?
Not the clothing.
The diamonds?
Not the sheep. Not someone's butler, but the place in Scotland.
Not Yorgyle. Argyle.
James. When this episode is over, you will never look at a bag in the same way again. That is a promise. That's a guarantee. That's a promise from me to you, but crucially, not to the listener. I give you the legend of the Hollow of the Secchi Barn. Well, James, you know Appin in Argyll, right?
Appin, I do know it quite well, aye.
I've taken you to Appin many a time. Handsome scenery, rugged people.
Devil books?
Yes, correct. The Red Book of Appin. Yes. A few wizards knocking around. A lot of sheep and cattle. And a lot of the wizardry in the area quite focused on cows. I'm quite a big fan of Facebook pages dedicated to putting out nice pictures of Appin. And one of the best is called Appin of Yesteryear.
Oh, yeah.
And they show Appin, but they show lovely pictures of it from the olden days.
Oh.
I know this is an audio podcast medium we're working in, but I'd like to share a picture with you from Appin of Yesteryear called Port Appin, Then and Now.
Great.
And the first image is an old, quaint, black and white image of a Port Appin from days gone by, from years gone by.
Is the new one generative AI?
It's not quite that futuristic. It is an actual photograph. So there's the old photo, and then it presents you with a modern picture in like a spot the difference.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So here you go.
Okay.
Oh. So it's the same.
Yes. It is
exactly the same.
It's a stretch of road with a fence next to it. Hey, no, I can spot a couple of differences.
They've got rid of a tree and they've added a wheelie bin, and it's in colour.
Yes, that was going to be one of my differences.
That is the main difference. The caption for this picture is Port Appin Then and Now.
I'd say it's the same clouds.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it's like even the mountain in the background is exactly the same amount of misty.
Yeah, it's like a 90s video game.
Yeah, because of the render distance.
Yeah.
Yes, that is actually Silent Hill, that hill in the background.
There's also an abnormally small 30 miles an hour sign in the nowadays.
Is that unusually small?
I thought it looked a bit low.
There's no scale there. There's no 50p in the shot. It might just be that the people of Appin are so sort of rangy and lofty that the photographer is, you know, 7 or 8 feet in the air while taking that picture.
Right, yes.
Creating the impression that the 30 miles zone, which wasn't there in the good old days of then.
You
it
just
happened
had-
of yesteryear. You could go as fast as you wanted, and there were no breathalyzers.
Yeah, drink as much as you like.
The local police were good chaps.
I've got some opinions about how mad it was about drink and driving in the past. Like the adverts that are like, don't have five.
In those days, they just called it driving in certain parts of the... How were people getting home from the pub? It was in the middle of nowhere. Which brings me on to a place called Cregan.
Cregan?
Yes.
That sounds like an American man's name.
It does, doesn't it? Hey, Mackenzie, come over here and meet Cregan.
He's the new guy. He's got a fringe.
Well, it means rock.
Oh.
Which is probably the kind of music that Cregan would listen to.
Yeah, too darn loud.
My story for you today comes from The Lore of Scotland by Westwood and Kingshill, who I have relied upon many a time on this podcast. And Cregan is a place as well as a bridge and still to this day an inn.
What? It's a place and a bridge and an inn? It's a triple threat.
Also, I think it's a hill as well.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff going on in the Cregan region.
There's no end to its talents.
It's on the north side of Loch Creiran and... If you go up past Fasnacloich, you can see the ferry bridge of Glen Creiran.
Glen? Is Glen's got a ferry bridge?
Yeah. And I sent you a picture of this before so you could have a look at it, because I thought you would like it.
I didn't know if I was supposed to look at it live, so I didn't look at it.
Oh, well, get ready for your eyes to show you something now, James.
Oh, hello. Oh, it's got...
What are you seeing?
Crenellations. It's like a...
It's got teeth.
Yeah, it's like a bridge with teeth or a bridge that's got like two sort of bits of stone circle going along the side of it.
It's a very odd thing. I don't know that anybody knows who built it. I don't know whether it's a bridge by fairies or for fairies.
Or a bridge over fairies.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't think they'd like crossing water, do they, fairies? So it's a bit weird that they would have a bridge.
Isn't that vampires? Or are they similarly afflicted?
I don't know. I thought it was every magical thing didn't like crossing water. Moving water. Didn't like crossing moving water.
Mm. So moving. Yeah, they're fine with a puddle.
Yeah. Or maybe if the river freezes, all the vampires get across.
Oh.
You better watch out.
That's a good point, yeah. One of these I've honed in on is a particularly moss-covered version of this fairy bridge with its, like, jutting teeth rocks as a sort of a barrier, but not a very good barrier because there's massive gaps between the rocks.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. They're there to look spooky and magical. I don't think they serve, especially since the side of a bridge, you might want to rest your hands on it, but it's just got spiky, jagged rocks.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They've succeeded if they want it to look spooky and atmospheric.
They have, they have. But it also looks kind of quaint and cute and sweet.
Mm.
And James, let me tell you, bridges like that, they don't give you the whole story about fairies.
Really?
Fairies, they're not always nice. They're not always creating pretty little river crossings.
No.
Sometimes they're being weird.
Ah.
I'd like to tell you about a very nasty bogle.
Mm.
Goes by the name of the Sackbarn or the Sekiban or the Sedgebarn.
Okay.
Or in English, the White Sack.
What?
It's not that dramatic a name. That's why I started with the Gaelic.
Oh.
It's a white sack. Imagine a white sack, James.
Yeah.
Are you scared yet?
No.
You will be.
Okay. It's making me think of American Beauty.
Yeah, it's like that. But imagine if instead of floating around supposedly magically, there was a little guy in it who was out to get you.
There's a man in that sack.
The white sack is a little guy who wears a sack and he rolls around and portends death.
Mm.
Or if you believe John Francis Campbell of Isla's version of it, as translated by, of course, John McKay in More West Highland Tales, Volume 1, 1940.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe John Francis Campbell, it'll just straight up kill you.
The bag.
The white sack.
The white sack.
Oh. McKay translates his warning as, "The white sack used to roll itself around before men's feet, bringing them down, then getting on top of them, it used to flatten them out and murder them."
No!
Mmm. So he rolls up to you like a sort of, I guess, a bowling ball.
Yeah.
And then, boof, 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 like a Mario villain, you're flat.
Oh, I guess he tangles and trips you up.
Yeah, he gets all on your feet. Now, he seems to be most dangerous when he's in front of you. That's, he rolls before people, and that's when he's dangerous. If he's behind you, it seems, you've got a chance.
Right. So if you were to sling him over your shoulder in that bag,
yeah,
you're cool. You're away.
I don't know if you should relax in that situation.
Is it like a tote, or is it like a plastic bag?
I'm imagining something quite a coarse fabric, James.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Probably like one of your bags for life quality sort of.
Not in this case, quite the opposite.
A bag for death.
Yes.
Possible title for the episode there.
Yes. Definitely a category.
So according to the Transactions of the Gaelic Society of Inverness, 1897.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good year.
The White Sack used to hang about in a place called the Hollow of the White Sack.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Which came first?
Which was a small valley behind Dun Achnahath, which is, oh, by the way, pronunciations here. Mm. I apologise in advance to the people of Scotland living and dead. Dun Achnahath is a ruined fort in a kiln field near Musedale.
Wow.
On the west coast of Kintyre. That's Musedale. It's a small, small place to this day. I don't know if it's pronounced Musedale. And statistically speaking, neither do you, the listener. So, you know, who's going to get me? What, is someone from Musedale listening to this? Very unlikely that they are. So,
Musedale. They wouldn't even know you're talking about them in Musedale.
In the Transactions of the Gaelic Society of Inverness, 1897, they translate the legend of the Hollow of the White Sack.
Mm.
And they translate it thusly, "The White Sack was a spirit. There were 16 old men in Musedale." Don't get attached to them, James. it's not relevant that there were 16 of them. Only one of them is even barely involved in the story.
Okay, okay. Seems like a lot of old men.
It's a lot to mention and then not call back to in any way. And I want you to, I don't want you to think I'm double bluffing here and then like, and then suddenly 16 guys popped out. They're not coming back into the story. Don't invest any thought in them.
16 elderly men. Are they Chekhov 16 elderly men?
They're not. We've got a surplus of 15 elderly men in this story.
Okay. They're just for spares.
One of those men had a servant girl. He's now out of the story. Even that last one, that's the end of him now.
Wow. This sounds like me telling an actual anecdote in my life.
He also had a son and a wife. All of these people I've just mentioned are way more important than the 16 old men.
Right.
Basically, the son and the servant girl, well, James, human nature being what it is, I doubt you're a man of the world.
Yes.
I'm sure you can imagine the romantic feelings might have begun to develop between them.
I can imagine romantic feelings, yes.
Can you? Go on. Yeah. Go on, that, do it then. Go on
that
then.
That makes me sound like a psychopath.
So the young man was courting the servant girl and his mother, wife of man 15.
You got to be careful how you say that sentence. Say that again.
The young man was courting the servant girl and his mother. Yeah, I did pause for too long.
Yeah, that got me confused, and I was not imagining those sort of amorous thoughts. Thank you very much.
No. Full stop.
This is not Oedipus, men.
The young man was courting the servant girl. Line break.
Carriage return.
Press enter. Carriage return. Clink.
Ding. Smack the dinger, whatever that thing is. Yep.
And his mother wasn't happy about it.
Oh, here we go.
His mother took a great spite to the girl. She did not know how she might do away with her. They sold drink over at the Craigan. Now, it's called Craigan here.
Wait a minute.
But John McKay identifies Craigan as the Cregan Change House.
I was going to say, isn't that the guy with the fringe from earlier?
No, that's good. Yeah, Craig and he's roomies with Cregan. They play hacky sack together.
Of course they do.
They do beer pong.
Oh, these guys.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I've played a beer pong.
Not to seem incredibly uncool, but it's just a phrase I've heard. I have no idea what it is.
Oh, okay. Right.
What is it?
Let me just get... I'm just going to find the...
Oh, you're Googling it. You don't know what it is.
No.
I can hear you Googling.
I'm not Googling that.
Just Googling some other information, actually. It's not even about the podcast.
Right. What you need is 10 solo cups.
What's a solo cup?
They are those red cups that you see in American films.
Why does it have to be that kind of cup?
You're at a frat party, Alistair.
I'm not, but I could be at a frat party.
You're watching a film about a frat party.
I've done that, yes.
And you've got a long table, and at each end of the table, you set up your 10 solo cups in a sort of a pyramid. We're not going high.
You just call them cups,
we're keeping it on the table. So it's basically a triangle, not a pyramid. It's a triangle.
Right. Okay.
You fill each of them cups with beer, probably from your mate's kegger, and you have a ping pong ball.
Come on, Craigan, get over here with your
Craigan
keg.
Craigan and Cregan are brought in a keg.
Hey guys, we got a keg.
Are they in a love triangle with Megan or Megan?
Megan, that's how an American said.
You bounce the ping pong ball, and if it lands in one of the beers, then your opponent, Keegan or Kegan, has to drink that beer.
Right.
Basically.
So the aim is to not drink beer in this game.
Oh, it's a bit of everything, isn't it? It's a drinking game. It's just a bit of fun.
A drinking game with a lot of setup.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of merch.
I've never known a drinking game. Oh, they're almost always about words and...
In your circles, you nerd. This is what the jocks are doing for their drinking games.
I didn't know there were any drinking games based purely on hand-eye coordination and fine motor skills.
Have you ever had a... No, I don't know anymore. To be honest, I don't know anymore.
All right. I also don't know what hacky sack is, but let's just move on.
Okay. It's not a haunted bag, though. It can frighten some people.
Yeah, in the northeast of England, a hacky sack is just a dirty sack. So they don't drink over at the Craigan. The Cregan's Change House. Now, according to my mum, because I just watched Harris Bomber Guy's 4-hour-long YouTube video about plagiarism, and so I'm citing my sources here.
Yes, good one.
Kath.
Your mum.
According to Mama, a change house is an inn along a drover's road for people who are driving livestock to market.
Right.
Referenced. Cited. There you go.
Nice one, Kath.
So, the horrible wife sends the servant girl out to get a drink from the Cregan, but nobody... No one dared to cross the hollow of the White Sack once the sun set.
Which is a lot of the time in Scotland.
Most of the year, the sun is not there. Yeah. So she went off to get, presumably, Diet Coke from the Kregan. And along the way, she didn't run into the white sack itself. She found the abandoned sack. I think just hung over a fence. So he was probably off doing something.
I don't want to know what.
We can't even imagine what it's like on the inside.
It's like a Hessian snail.
So she realized she was in danger, but believed that without his lumen, without his shaggy coat, he was basically powerless.
You'd hope.
So she swept it up and she put it under her arm and she went on to the change house.
She's had it away.
Nicked it. You know, he can't do anything until he gets it back. So she got to the change house, asked for a Diet Coke. They said, is Pepsi okay? She was like, oh, yeah, fine. And she said, this is really important. I've got to get back to the house in Muirsdale. So she gave the change house wife, different wife, this is the woman who runs the change house. She gave her the shaggy coat of the white sack. She gave her the sack, but she didn't give her the sack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not like Lord Sir Alan Sugar.
No, not like Lord Sir Alan Lord Sugar. No, more charmingly. I saw him on Room 101 years ago. Comes across really badly.
Filmed an interview with him in real life.
Have you? You've met Lord Sir Alan Lord Sugar?
He's like a grumpy Teddy Ruxpin.
That's like the robot bear. Was he a robot? Because I've also seen a robot of Alan Sugar.
Really?
You can also buy a robot Alan Sugar, yeah, because he's Amstrad, is he?
The Teddy Ruxpin toy, did you ever have one or see one in real life?
I believe I did have one or saw one in real life.
Wow. I think one of the kids at the Childminders had one, I think, when I was a kid. But you would just, the dream would be to get it and you'd record your own things so you could make Teddy Ruxpin swear. Sorry, to explain the concept of Ruxpin, it was a cartoon about a storytelling bear. But then there was a product that you could buy, which was, imagine, if you will, a Teddy come portable hi-fi system.
A Teddy come portable hi-fi system?
Yes. Yes, a Teddy come portable hi-fi system.
Excuse me, I'm having problems with my Teddy come portable hi-fi system.
And the little mouth would move, basically, when it played the tape. Yeah. So it looked like he was telling this. You put a story on a tape in there. I'm like, do I need to explain the idea of cassettes and stories?
Yeah, I have met someone who didn't know what a cassette player was in my life, and that was quite upsetting. Teddy Ruxpin, can you remember what we were saying?
We were at Lord Sir Alan Sugar.
Lord Sir Alan Sugar.
The woman got the sack.
So she gave her the sack.
Yes, that was the joke.
A classic tangent.
Yes.
I didn't think that pun was worth saying, and I'm glad I said it now.
Well, unfortunately, it's got to stay in.
Now it's got to stay in because of the meaty Alan Sugar riff. The wife of the change house, of course, said, yeah, of course I'll hang on to the shaggy covering of the white sack, to the lumen of the sack barn, and the girl made it away home. But very soon afterwards, the white sack came banging on the door of the change house. What? Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, wait a minute. This is quite confusing because the name of the creature is also the name of the sack. So
yeah, it's not in the sack now. The sackless, which in the Northeast means stupid. The sackless. Was totally sackless. The sackless white sack came banging on the door. So we don't know what he looks like. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what a naked one looks like?
It's grim. Yes, a bit, and it's grim.
Yes. You know it's Miyazaki-ish in there.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's very, very pale. Almost see-through skin.
Oh, he's so pale. You know how pale I am?
Yeah.
I don't even wear a sack.
You don't live in a sack the whole time.
Or roll around in a ball. Then came the white sack, and every blow that he would give to the door, they would think that he would break through the house. So, as various people point out, he does seem quite powerful without his sack, but obviously his priority is getting the sack, and the secondary priority is to get that girl.
Mm-hmm.
The wife waited as long as she could, thinking, I wonder if she's back at our house now. But eventually she was awestruck, she was overcome, she was too afraid, and she gave the lumen back to the white sack.
Why do you keep saying lumen?
Lumen is the name for the shaggy covering.
Okay.
That's the Gaelic word.
Okay,
the thing that is the white sack's sack.
Right.
So the girl was almost back in the house, but not quite, when the white sack starts to chase her down. But fortunately, the son of the house, her lover, so the son was there waiting for her to arrive. And as soon as he saw her, he tried to grab her, but the white sack was at the door as soon as she... But he was able to pull her from him. Then the white sack got a hold of the plaid which was about her, and with the fright that the girl got, she died. The woman was very sorry that she did the like, and she got no rest after that. So that's a sad ending. I should have warned you. It's a sad ending. The girl died, James. I'm not clear which woman feels bad at the end, whether it's the woman who didn't hold on to the sack for long enough.
Yeah.
Or whether it's the mother of the boy who sent her out on that errand in the first place. One of those women felt very sorry.
Mm.
But I don't know which one.
How did the girl die? Was she squished like a Mario character? Or
no, she was scared. She was scared.
She just got scared to death.
Yeah, she got scared to death, like from one of the ghosts in Mario Kart.
Ah. Oh, like a King Boo.
Yeah. So that's too sad a story to tell you in isolation. So I'm going to tell you another account of the White Sack, which is mentioned in Lore of Scotland, but I think comes originally from Galloway Gossip. My second tale of the White Sack comes from Galloway Gossip, 1901, by Robert de Bruce Trotter. Which sounds like if Del Boy was pretending to be Scottish. Now, you'd think with a name like Robert de Bruce Trotter, he wouldn't need to come up with a nom de plume, but he has.
What?
Mrs. Maria Trotter. Not working alone, of course. She always collaborated with her editor, Saxon.
Saxon.
Also Robert de Bruce Trotter. None of these are all the same person.
Robert de Bruce Trotter.
What a character Robert de Bruce Trotter is. I could just see Maria Trotter and Saxon driving around in an open top car solving mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Saxon, get in the car.
Okay, Maria Trotter.
Okay, Mrs. Maria Trotter. Now, there's a couple of editions of Galloway Gossip. The version I'm looking for from 1901 is available nowhere online apart from the Dumfries and Galloway Place Names blog. Thank you, DG Place Names.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's written in Galloway dialect. So get ready for some me reading phonetic Scots. So the accent's going to be bad, but I am only 50% to blame for that.
Good.
And in Galloway Gossip, a young man named Pisty encounters the Sacaban, or Sedge Band, as genteel folk calls it.
Is he drunk?
Good question. About his name, it says, "Very likely he had a richt name as ain some gate, but I never kent what it was, and nae mair did he. And I'm thinking his granny had nae mair notion nor her neighbours. However, everybody called him Pisty, and it answered weel enough." So Pisty was a nickname, which seems to make fun of him in some way. Now, I don't know what it means.
Neither did his nan.
It doesn't sound good. His nan doesn't know his real name.
Nor his nan's neighbours.
And his nan's neighbours don't know his real name. Don't ask his 16 elderly neighbours. Not important. So what happened to poor Pisty is a young chap called Saunders McCormick.
What?
Yeah. It's replete with names, James.
Yeah, why? Boy, oh boy.
So Nurse McCormick challenged him to go to his granny's cupboard and to steal a bloody pudding thick and long.
What?
That's a bloody pudding thick and long.
Like a black pudding.
You and I would call it a black pudding. American listeners, maybe a blood pudding.
Mm.
Olden days, Galloway listeners, a bloody pudding.
A nice treat.
James, do you remember when I said bad news, it's in dialect?
Yeah.
That's also a poem.
Oh, a dialect poem. So they're really, really forcing the rhymes here.
All right, I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read most of it. So Saunders McCormick challenges him to go to his granny's and steal a pudding, thick and long. "Has granny that jaloosed full well the way her puddings aye was lost, said if he did another steal, he'd surely see a pudding's ghost."
What?
Yes, so she knows what the score is, Granny. She knows that the puddings are going missing. McCormick's the ringleader.
Mm.
Pisty is taking all the risks.
She knows pudding ghosts exist.
She knows that the puddings have an immortal soul that survives death. Yes.
Yes. Did he rhyme ghost and lost?
Yes, ghost and lost. You don't know what the Galloway accent from those days was.
No, that's true.
No, and neither do I, crucially. But also, hopefully, most of the listeners don't.
Loosed the ghost.
Now, the granny knows, just like you and I know, there was no such thing as a pudding's ghost.
Right.
But Pisty doesn't know that. "Soon after he the lane had crossed, something aside him wrote along. Looked mortal like a pudding's ghost. We fricked his mouth, it opened wide. His hair we horror stood on end. He got safe flayed. If it was best to stay or run, he didna ken." So that's flayed, like, do you remember flay craw?
Mm-hmm.
Scarecrow.
Oh, right.
He got so scared.
Ah.
So as he's walking, something rolls along next to him that looks mortal like a pudding's ghost. Of course, we know who it is. It's the Sacaban.
Right.
It's the Sacaban. But he mistakes it for the ghost of a black pudding.
I thought it was a white dog poo. thought this was going to be an extended bit about how you don't see them anymore.
You do not see them anymore. At last he ran, but in a wee, the one his hat blew off and lost. He looked ahin, and there did see, close at his heels, the puddin's ghost.
Trotted a white dog poo.
It's not white dog poo. Okay. Although, to be fair, a white version of a black pudding.
Yes.
There are white bits in black pudding sometimes.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it.
Puir Pisty ran wi micht and main, and rare twi are his strength and force. But whether he ran fast or slow, the puddin' at his heels was close. So he doesn't seem to be able to outrun this thing. It's rolling after him like the ghost of a pudding.
What's happened? He's trotting white dog poo and he's trying to run away from his own shoes.
No, James, it is the sack arm. It's the white sack. It's very scary.
Yes.
I don't think you're appreciating how terrifying this is for poor Pisty.
No, I'm not.
He finally makes it home where his granny, weshing of the floor, thought Pisty had his senses lost. Says granny, "It's the secky barn." Cries Pisty, "Here's the pudding's ghost." And when he... I'm doing it like a proper dramatic reading here.
Very good.
Sorry, I was just struck by my own talent there for a moment.
Quite right.
And when he got into his bed, Saunders McCormick, he did tell that when he did a pudding want, he'd better gang and steal his sale.
Oh.
Said steal your own bloody pudding, Saunders McCormick. I nearly got eaten by a bag.
But now we know what this secchi band looks like, do we? Or is that still in the bag?
It's still... Oh, no, it was still in the bag then. That was on a different occasion.
Oh, so it could, it's what's inside a white sausage.
What's inside of that? We just don't know. Now, that's a happier ending for the story of the sack barn.
Yes, a bit of fun.
I don't want to keep throwing in twists, but I have a small twist.
Oh.
Twist.
Twist.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Twist.
Twist.
Well, I wanted to do a story from Argyle, from Appin or the surrounding area. But you remember the story began at Musedale.
Oh, yeah.
On the west coast of Kintyre. That's not Argyle.
I didn't know that.
Well, it isn't. I'm telling you now it's not.
Okay.
And so according to Lore of Scotland, this story is attached to the Cregan in Argyle. But I just don't think it is, because that's, as far as I can tell, about 100 miles away from Musedale.
Oh.
That's like a 48-hour round trip to get a drink from the pub. So at night, like, you don't even need a ghost. That would just kill you. that is enough of a dangerous task for the servant girl to have been sent on in the first place. So I can't help but think that because Cregan is a fairly common name, there's several other pubs around the area called Cregan and Cregan, and there's a place in Northern Ireland called Cregan. Also, the Hollow of the White Sack was apparently near Donachnahath, which is basically in the opposite direction from Musedale. To, if you were going to walk 100 miles, like half the length of Kintyre for a drink, it's in the opposite direction anyway from Musedale.
Well.
So I'm sorry to let you down, James.
No, that's all right. You're telling me that the girl was a really fast runner?
Yes, that's what I'm saying, James. She's magic. She went 200 miles in that story.
You'll be telling me next there's no such thing as the ghost of a pudding.
Well, that's ridiculous. I would never say that. I respect you too much and I respect puddings too much.
And next you'll tell me there's no such thing as white dog poo.
There were so many Cregans, weren't there? There were just too many.
Maybe they just thought it was a name for a thing.
I feel like you're being a little bit generous there.
I am.
So are you ready to score it, James? Are you ready to pass judgment on the Hollow of the White Sack?
Yeah, I think I am.
My first category for you is names. And let me remind you that this episode included Robert de Bruce Trotter, a.k.a. Mrs. Maria Trotter and Saxon.
A.k.a. Saxon.
A.k.a. Saxon, who's like, maybe he's a dog. I think Saxon's maybe a dog now, but he also drives.
He's a talented dog.
That was the dog saying, "Where are we going now, Mrs. Maria Trotter?" Always addresses her in full as Mrs. Maria Trotter.
Don't forget your sheep, Mrs. Maria Trotter. And of course, Pisty.
Pisty. We don't know what it means, but it doesn't sound good. The Secchi Band, the Sack Band, the Sedge Band.
The White Sack.
The White Sack, not as good.
No.
Not as good in English.
Don't want to forget Cregan.
Cregan. Yeah, Cregan and Cregan.
Cregan
two guys.
And Cregan.
No Those relation. They look identical. They just get on really well.
Mm.
And Dunachnahath, the fort in the kiln field.
What was the that newspaper, the Gigglefield Gossip or something? Is that? Well, I don't think it was a newspaper, actually. I think it was a...
The books written by Robert de Bruce Trotter.
Robert de Bruce Trotter. The Galloway guy. Yeah, those are all fantastic names, frankly.
And the Fairy Bridge of Glencrearan.
The FB of GC. It's got to be five.
Yes!
It has to be. It simply has to be.
Even though I really feel like I could have lost a point for White Sack sounding rubbish, but fine.
I kind of like its rubbishness, but then it did get confusing, actually, because the thing was called the White Sack.
Yeah, that
is
true.
And the thing it lived in and wanted back was the White Sack.
Where I live, that would mean that the Sekiban was recycling rather than rubbish for the bin men.
Right, okay.
You've got different coloured bags.
Oh.
And the white one means recycling.
Oh.
It sounds glamorous, but when you realise that we just leave them on the street. No bin bag, no bins, no kind of container. We'll just say, hey, foxes, this is for you.
Yes.
This is a little gift from me to you, the foxes.
This is a bag of the smell of food.
Mm. Not the white one, that's recycling. Don't touch that.
It's the ghost of the other bin bag. It's the ghost of a bin bag.
Watch out, fox, it's a Seki man.
Oh, no, it's going to bounce all over you.
Which leads me neatly to the second category, mm-hmm. Supernatural.
Oh.
What is the scariest thing?
Man's inhumanity to man.
Do you keep going? What's the scariest thing?
The dream I had where my cat shouted at me.
It's pretty scary. Just maybe one more. What's the scariest thing?
Thinking that you've not brought your keys.
Correct. It's the unknown.
Not knowing whether you've got
not
your keys.
Not knowing where your keys are, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing is scarier to humans than the unknown.
Mm.
And what is in the Sekiban's bag? We just don't know. What's in the bag?
What's in the bag? I found out recently what the actual translation of cul-de-sac is.
And what is the colder part of cul-de-sac?
It's bottom of.
Bottom of the bag.
Yeah.
Mm.
The cul-de-sac is the bottom of the bag.
Not quite as spooky.
No, not quite as spooky.
It chases after you. It bangs on doors. If you see it in front of you, you're a goner. It's going to roll on top of you and bounce you flat.
And so when it scared that poor woman to death after a basically ultra-marathon...
Yeah, after she ran, maybe she died because of the 200-mile run.
Whilst carrying a plastic bag. I feel like I've got quite a definite image of it, and it's like a weird, lanky little goblin... But really, really pale white.
Yeah, I'm imagining like hands and legs coming out of the corners of the bag, maybe. But what's its face like? Does it even have a face?
Oh, what if it's really handsome?
It'd be gorgeously handsome in there. But again, what I'm saying is nothing is scarier than a really handsome man in a bag.
Definitely supernatural as a thing. Even it being in a bag. No, just a bag, because then if you see a bag on its own, just like moving around, it's probably got a Sekiban in it. It's quite frightening,
yeah, it's probably a little
actually.
Sekiban. That might be a baby Sekiban.
Yes.
It was probably a Sekiban in American Beauty.
It can scare you to death, so it's got to be four.
Four, okay. All right.
To actual death.
Good. All right. And on the subject of death, my third category, a thing you said, a bag for death.
A bag for death, yes.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a bag that kills you. I don't know if I actually said this. If it rolls to a stop in front of your house, that means someone in that house is going to die. I might have forgotten to say that. That's in Law of Scotland. So it's an omen and it'll just kill you, straight up kill you.
Or it's recycling night.
Or it could be recycling. Yeah, I mean, don't leap to conclusions.
Yeah, that is very much the bag for death. And the girl and the woman, she stole the bag. She ended up dying.
She did die. Yeah, she did die. Mm-hmm. I mean, the old lady sent her out through the hollow of the White Sack specifically in the hope that she would die.
Yeah, that's pretty cruel.
It is very cruel, and she may or may not have felt guilty about it. We don't know.
Yes, it is a bag for death. There is nothing else for it. It's all death, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no like, oh, sometimes if it goes a different way, it's good for you.
Yeah, no. Or if you leave out a little bowl of milk. No, this fairy, as far as I can tell, only has nasty incarnations.
Yeah, it's 5 out of 5. It's a bag for death.
5 out of 5 for a bag. I'm getting high scores by using categories that you came up with during the episode. Must make a note of that technique. Final category, taking the pasty. I'm not quite sure it works as a category because it was pasty taking the pudding or trying to take the pudding. But I think the old lady who sent her on a 200-mile walk was kind of taking the pasty.
She was taking the pasty, yeah.
That is definitely a little bit unreasonable. That's a big ask.
And Sekiban was trying to take the pasty.
He did try and get him, didn't he?
To
yeah.
Death.
And he tried to take her plaid, the girl's plaid. He grabbed a hold of it.
And, yeah, he was trying to take the sausage, which is a bit cheeky.
That is quite cheeky, yeah. And I think with the names Mrs. Maria Trotter and Hereditor Saxon, I think Robert de Bruce Trotter was taking the pasty a little bit.
Yes.
A little bit.
Oh, man, you've painted me into a corner of score.
Have I?
A score corner, and it's got to be.
Can't believe I painted you into a scorner.
It's a scorner of five.
Is it?
Because they are. Everyone is.
Wow.
There's no one who isn't. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just stunned. I wasn't expecting it to go so well.
It was a good story, well told.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I've never heard of a Sekiban before.
No, but now I'm going to think about it quite a lot because I often see plastic bags.
Be safe out there. Remember, if you see it behind you, run. And if you see it in front of you, it's too late.
It's too late. You're gone. You're a
goner. You're going to be flat.
I think I'm going to give my my bag of bags a second look tonight. you know the one under the sink?
It only takes one bad apple. It only takes one evil bag. They're like gremlins, but it's leaving receipts in them from shopping.
Oh no. I'm in big trouble.
I always leave the receipt in there as like a favour to myself. It's like, oh, in case I want to know what I bought 6 months ago. Just a little bit of filing for me. I'll just pop that in there. I could easily scrumple it up or throw it away or do something with it, but I'll just leave it in the bag for later.
I might get really bored. Might be bored on a bus.
So, oh, look, I bought some sweet corn in March. So, James, will you have a look at a bag the same way again?
I will keep an eye, a close eye on the bags.
I think you'll look askance at a bag from now.
Definitely. Way. Totes. They're another type of bag.
God, that's very good wordplay there. Well done.
Right, thank you very much.
So, James, I've heard that networking with the fans online is your bag.
It is my bag, which is now a bit scary.
I was trying to set you up to plug the Patreon/Discord.
That's where the law folk hang out. If you sign up at patreon.com/lawmenpod, you can join the law folk in chatting about things and stuff. Oh, and you get bonus episodes. Probably be some good Back to the Future anecdotes in this week's bonus episode.
I don't know about good. There will be Back to the Future anecdotes.
Yes.
If that doesn't sell it, we might have to think of a different way of selling it.
I'm watching some of the TikTok videos. A lot of them don't know how basic storytelling.
I wouldn't want to be a Gen Z-er right now.
No, because of everything to do with the world. Yeah.
Because of climate change. Was that you? Were you puffing on a little pipe there, James? Were you smoking an old man's pipe?
Yeah, I was a little. I borrowed it off 16 old men who were irrelevant.